Hi guys, so good to have you here again. Okay, so let's just get into it. So last time it was like, you know, we came for the ladies, gang gang. Today we're coming for the guys. So sisters, ladies, you know, just get your popcorn on your one corner and watch them squirm. Okay, so let's go right into it. So we started looking at something last time from Ephesians, talking about submission and all right. So after submission, the next instruction that we see is the instruction that goes to men, and it's like, why men, love your wives as Christ has loved the church, or something like that. So we see that the men have been instructed to love, and not love in the way we've come to know it these days, because personally I think love these days it has so many definitions and quite corrupted, honestly. But it's so specific. It says love as God has loved the church. Now, before I start to go deeper into, you know, this loving, permit me to submit to us that, you know, again, just looking at the dynamics of our relationship with God, submission is, number one, born out of the fact that God loves us first. You know, we realize how great His love is, and then we are humbled by that love and by the greatness of it, and, you know, we just find ourselves yielding to it, so to say. Secondly, submission is born out of love for God, because we find that we respond in love to His love, and therefore we're able to submit in obedience to His instructions, like love one another, submit to one another. So it's two things. Submission is a response to love, basically, and then in that responding to love, we're able to submit some more. I don't know if you get that. Okay, but let's just leave that. So going back to the guys now. Yes, I hope they're seated and comfortable. Now back to the guys. You know, first of all, you see that this instruction to love, before it came to the guys, it actually came to all believers. You know, the instruction given to men to love is an instruction that was first given to all believers. In John 13 verse 34, they were instructed to love one another as Christ loves us. So again, just like submission isn't something that should just start because, okay, bam, I'm in a relationship, oh yeah, let me be submitting, oh yeah, let me be loving. I think the ideal situation is that way before, you know, we're thinking, okay, this man is the man of my dreams and I want to walk down the aisle with him and all that stuff, we were already submitting, we were already loving. Because these were instructions that were given to us as believers before we started talking about His view and her view. Okay, so again, love, 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 love. What do we know as facts about God's love? We know that He loved us first. I might not make scriptural references, but I know that these are things that you can actually find in scripture. So it's a fact. He loved us first. That's somewhere in 1 John. His love is unconditional and it has no reason. We can't say, you know, Christ loves us because, you know, we're very holy. You can say He loves us because, you know, we're tall, dark and beautiful or anything like that. He just loves us. I mean, He literally created us just so He could love us. But let me not even start to go into that. And He loves us in spite of our shortcomings and how much we may hurt Him. And nothing can separate us from His love. I mean, when you look at some of these things, yeah, don't you think it's even more of a challenge to our guys? Because the truth is, especially in these days, it is so easy. I'm about to say so much easier. Is that right? Anyway, it's easier to love someone when they are great and giving you good vibes. But it's not so much, you know, when they're not. Let me say that again. It's easier to love someone, you know, when they make you feel good, when you see that they're so perfect, they're so beautiful, they're so smart and all of that. But it's not so easy to love someone when you see that they can get moody, when you see that, you know, they have some of they have some of their own scars and stuff that they're dealing with, and they have a side to them. You know, there's this post I've seen about how we always feel like it's when somebody shows like their bad side, we now feel like that's the person's real face, something like that. But that's anyways, basically it's easier to love people when they're perfect, but once we start to see their imperfections, it's like, who is this one? So this is who you really are, that kind of thing. So I mean, basically when a man, please emphasis on the word man, I didn't say boy, I didn't say guy, when a man has chosen to love someone and commit to someone, the love he is instructed to have should be able to overlook the disqualifications. And overlook is not really the word I would want to use. Let's just use that word for now, but I will get into it more, let's say more clearly. Well, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to what his love actually does, what the love of the husband or what the love of the man actually, let's say its role in, maybe so to say, his partner's disqualifications or imperfections. I'll get to that very soon. Anyway, by the time I realized, you know, the demand that is placed on the kind of love that a man should show towards his wife, and I would like for us to, anyways, let me not go there. Anyways, when you see the spec, the standard for loving as prescribed by scripture, I think it's very important for guys that God is guiding them in their seeking adventures. I think it's important that God is guiding them in their seeker adventures. If you're within my age group, you probably would figure that out. Yeah, their seeker adventures, because you want to be sure that in your seeker adventures, you're finding the good thing that will allow you to obtain favor in spite of her disqualifications. Let me say that again. I think it's important for guys that God is guiding them in their seeker adventures, so that when you find, so that they can find the good thing that would actually allow them obtain favor in spite of her disqualifications. Chew on that for a moment. Now, the next really amazing thing about the love as designed and described in scripture is the effect that this love is supposed to have on the bride, that's the church, the woman, right? In verse 26, it says, because of God's love, the bride, the church, became sanctifiable, she became cleansed, she became glorious, she became splendorful, she became perfect, she became exactly how God like her. In this day and age, you say, you know, she became even more sexy, she became, you know, like a bad, I can't use that word, anyway, you get the point. Basically, the idea basically is that loving your partner as Christ does should bring out God's glory in her, qualifying all those supposed disqualifications, making her better just as you like her. Your love should bring her into the your love should bring her into all her perfections, basically. That's the point, basically. Your love should grow her. Your love should be I'm not used to many biblical terms, basically. Finally, I realized that, you know, love in marriage basically is born out of two things. First of all, the instruction. Love your wife as the church has loved her. And of course, even way, way before then, when you talked about love your love one another, basically. So that's the first place where, you know, love in marriage is born from. And because we are submitted people, you know, we're very obedient, we're gonna do it, we're gonna love this person with all not with all. Now let me ask a question, and I would love to get answers. is it possible to love your partner to the point where it becomes a sin? You know, scripture says to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So if you're loving your partner like that, does that make it a sin? I would really, 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 really love to hear answers. So please, just if you have my contact, and if you don't, just look, watch out. We're working on something so that, you know, we have better ways to communicate with one another, like feedback and stuff, and just rub off ideas. So I was saying, love in marriage is born out of two things: the instruction, and the second thing is the understanding of oneness. Gang gang. It's another very important aspect, which I think we'll talk about next time. So okay, that's like good news. We're having a bonus episode on this small, I can't even call this a relationship series anymore, but okay, relationship series, February series, Valentine series, Valentine though, whatever you want to call it. Basically, we'll have a bonus episode and I will be rounding up just talking about oneness in marriage. I hope you enjoyed this. It might not have been as, I don't know, I know it's a bit different from what I normally do, but different, I think, is good once in a while. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope that you are being awesome in all that you do. And I'm trying to sign up with something really nice, but I can't even, but thank you. I must say thank you for listening. It's an honor every time, really. Stay blessed, and I love you.